Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Wednesday, but more importantly, it is the release day for the 2024 Cheesehead TV annual NFL Draft Guide. That's right. It is now available. Went live this morning. Already seen an incredible response, but in case you haven't seen or heard tell around these parts, the Cheesehead TV Draft Guide is now available. You can find a link in the description of this video on YouTube. Or you can go to cheeseheadtv.com. There are several links there on the homepage. Just an outstanding job by everybody involved. Big, big shout out to Al Bracco for putting this all together. The Cheesehead TV 2024 Pro Football Draft Guide, available for Packers fans worldwide right now. Go get your copy. There's tons of great stuff as far as, you know, not just the stuff on the prospects, some incredible writing, some incredible featured articles, great breakdowns of the position groups from Maggie. Really, I mean, amazing storytelling from Tazeem regarding his journey as a draftee for the Packers back in 1993. Some really, really in-depth study as far as what the Packers need and what, you know, is going around the league. Great mock draft, tons of stuff. Check it out. Always good stuff. And like I always say, somewhat jokingly, but somewhat true, you know, I'm barely involved. And that's what makes it great. Because God knows these are people who really dive into the draft and live it and breathe it in a way that I certainly don't. And I, you know, am just in awe and completely blown away each and every year. Everyone does an amazing job. From Al on down, the editors, the design, James just kills it each and every year. It looks gorgeous. Available now. Like I said, there's a link in this video, the description of this video. Check it out, people. Hello to everybody in the comments. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody. New York Cheesehead, how you doing, man? Albert, thanks for the super chat. Random Packers, Jonathan Franklin, Duan Harris, and Eric Walden. Walden still gives me nightmares. All I see is him chasing Kaepernick in slow motion. Man, you can choose to remember some of the big hits he administered for guys that weren't Kaepernick. You can do that if you want. But yes, that is probably an indelible image. No question about it. Good afternoon, Packer fam. What's up, William? How you doing? Thanks for getting me through these work days. That's why we're here, man. It's why we are here. In my opinion, with the draft approaching, let's put a pause on random Packers. Too many repeats. Let it breathe for a while. Joseph? It'll happen organically. If people sense the idea that it's time, they will. But, you know, commanding them to only ensures that they will not only continue, but they will double down. Clearly, you're not a parent of three. Because I know a thing or two about a thing or two when it comes to telling people not to do stuff. Jim Jonas, what's up, man? Good to see you. Thanks for the super chat. Lamont Hollenquist. Ooh, excellent. Phenomenal. See, Joseph? Phenomenal. Lamont Hollenquist, not a repeat. Outstanding random Packer. You're just a hater. John Simatovich, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Random Packer, Mike Neal, boiler up. No 162-0 for the Brewers. No, you're going to lose one eventually. But, John, how are the Cubbies doing? I'm sorry, what's that? I can't hear you. Good chat. Relax, how you doing, man? Say it with me. Bears still suck. Outstanding. GVT Spook 1, thanks for checking out the stream on Twitch. I saw that the Packers had recouped some money from insurance policies on players. Do they do that to all players, only the ones with the big contracts? How does that work? Traditionally, it'll happen when there's some kind of insurance and or injury issue. They do not recoup on every player with an injury, and more often than not, they'll probably write off some of the smaller stuff, but they will, if it's a significant amount, something that they can recoup. Yeah, they will attempt to not always be successful, but attempt to go and get it. Coleman, thanks for the super chat. Nags, first time catching you live. Thanks for all you do. Go Pack. Thank you, Coleman. Very nice of you to say, and thanks for the super chat. Appreciate you. Tommy, how many Green Bay hats do you own? Well, only one, apparently, because this is all I ever wear now. I love this hat. I can't believe this is a Cheesehead TV hat. It's like my favorite hat in the whole world now. But outside of this one, let me just count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They're all hanging up right here. 8, 9, 10, 11. 11, because there's one back at the office. So 11 at the moment. Mimsy, what's up, man? Random Packer fan opinion, Joseph. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Abdul, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Hey, Aaron, how many new O-line starters will we have? Ooh, controversy. I'm guessing one. If we're talking about like how they lined up at the end of the year, I know people are ready to push Josh Myers out the door, but I suspect, you know, that right guard spot is the one spot that will most likely be different. Now, who knows what happens as far as the draft? Maybe they draft a tackle and he comes in and supplants Rasheed Walker. But even if they draft someone, even if it's high, someone they draft, you know, high up, that doesn't automatically mean they're going to get handed the position. You know, Rasheed will be given the opportunity to compete. And I suspect at least early on, week one, he'll probably still have that job. But got a long way to go. We'll see what happens with the draft. But yeah, I suspect probably one, that right guard spot. I think everybody else will probably stay in place. But I know both Matt and Brian have spoken about, you know, keeping competition going, making sure that those best five are out there. And I'm sure they will be given opportunities to compete and maybe try to supplant a Josh Myers, try and, you know, move out the left tackle. But yeah, I suspect it'll end up being that right guard spot will be the lone difference when all is said and done. But like I said, long way to go. Double C, what's up, man? Najee Davenport. Excellent. Excellent choice. Craig Brockmiller, what's up, man? Order my copy of the draft guide. Now I can sound like I know what the hell I'm talking about. Random Packer, Clark Hinkle. Clark Hinkle. Excellent. Yeah, I mean, look, the draft guide's a good time for everybody who hasn't been obsessively kind of tracking each and every pro day, looking at the combine results, watching the combine at all, looking at all the all-star games. You know, all that work now is done for you. So you can download that draft guide and peruse it at your leisure and get ready for late April when the draft kicks off. Perfect timing. What else we got here, folks? Random Packer, Geronimo Allison. Man, you'll never be able to take away that opening primetime game against the Bears where he caught that big shot from Rodgers up the right sideline for a touchdown. Outstanding stuff. Packers go edge with the first pick, Nags. Nathan, it's a possibility. I think I just talked about this 2 days ago and clipped a video from that discussion here on the YouTube channel and, you know, essentially said, yeah, I don't think defensive tackle or edge are off the board at 25. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, that they're going to reach for one. You know, if there's one there value-wise that makes a lot of sense over maybe some other positions of need, I think they pull the trigger. But it really depends. And that's what's kind of tough about forecasting when you're so far, you know, towards the back end of the round, right? The draft could break so many different ways. And that's a lot of that's going to happen live while we're waiting rather than being able to kind of, you know, predict or forecast how it's going to occur. But yes, is it a possibility? No question about it. Dale Norton, good evening from London. Good evening from New York City. I hope you're doing well. It feels like London over here, man. This whole week has been cloudy and rainy all week long. We were supposed to get snow tomorrow, but now that it looks like the forecast has said it's going to miss us. Ooh, Random Packer, Hannibal Nieves. Nice. Adrian Wright, thanks for the super chat. We peaked at the right time last season. How much of an effect do you think Aaron Jones' return and increase in snaps boost the morale of the squad? A lot going on there in that super chat. How much does it boost the morale? I don't know. I thought they were in a pretty damn good groove even before Aaron showed back up on the regular, right? There's no doubt that his output certainly helped and his production was, you know, a big catalyst to their ability not just to score points, but just to keep defenses off balance. You know, a lot of what we saw during the last kind of 4 or 5 games is what Dan Quinn talked about when he spoke with the Fox crew about, you know, you got to be true and safe as far as your eyes and your feet if you're a defender, not knowing if it's going to be a run or a pass. You know, Matt did a very, very good job of keeping teams off balance. And a big part of that was because Aaron Jones was so damn productive. And if you're ripping off 4, 5, 6 yards on first down, you're constantly staying out of the sticks and keeping yourself in good situations. I think, you know, obviously Aaron helped in that regard. But as far as his presence in the locker room or, you know, boosting morale, Man, I think their morale was pretty damn good. I don't doubt for a moment that they were very happy to get Aaron back in the fold when they did. But, man, they had looked pretty dangerous even without him. You know, yes, they had some tough losses, the one in New York, the one against the Bucks. No question about it, though. Aaron played in the one against the Bucks. I just don't think that it was a question of like, oh, we've got Aaron back, we're going to really kind of step up our game now. I think they were playing at a pretty damn high level without him. His production, though, certainly helped the cause. No question about it. Emily Nags. Hey, Emily. That's a lot of exclamation points. Soder, what's going on, man? Random Packer, Todd McBride. So many Packers, so little time. I know, man. When you got a 100-plus-year-old franchise, there are a lot of random Packers you can draw from. Dustin, how you doing, man? Who needs a random Packer when you have BJ Raji, the ultimate non-random Packer? Keith says, number one, draft center. I would be very surprised if they utilized the 25th overall pick on a center, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. I do think there's a very good chance they use it on an interior lineman with the ability to play center, but a dedicated center, I doubt it. I think they're going to look for someone who's got versatility if they're going to utilize a first-round pick with the attendant fifth-year option on a guy who only plays one spot, you know? But that doesn't mean, like, to your point, like, could they pick a center with a premium, you know, pick and bring him in there and have him compete with Josh Myers? Absolutely. I'm not saying it's impossible. Rai, what's up, man? Would Prime Favre have won the 2014 NFC Championship game? Oh, man, that's a bit unfair, isn't it? I mean, yes, probably, but I think Prime Rodgers would have as well if he doesn't have the calf injury. And people forget he's playing in a damn limited little circle back there, you know? Barely able to run. I mean, I think if you have a healthy Rodgers, yeah, the Packers probably win that game, right? So, yeah, Prime Favre, probably. Menace, what's going on, man? I understand we definitely need O-line depth, but, and maybe I'm in the minority here, but a first-round O-line, especially tackle, I just don't get it. Definitely need more depth, but with some versatile guys, but I don't get first-round arguments because they're long-term investments. And you're 100%, if you do pull the trigger on a tackle in the first round, you're thinking you are completely elevating the floor when it comes to what you're able to do on the edge in protection, what you're able to do moving bodies in the run game. Look, Rashid Walker played his ass off last year. No question about it. They produced at a very high level with him out there. But he's got a long way to go to entrench himself as a full-time, unquestioned starter. And if you can find a premier talent at 25 at the tackle spot, you absolutely pull that trigger. I mean, I get that you don't buy it and that you think they should look other places, but I think they 100% pull the trigger on a tackle if he's available. And that's how the Packers tend to operate when it comes to premium positions. Tackles, edge rushers, cornerbacks. Those are the three hot, hot spots. You know, if a high level, highly rated, incredibly athletic dude at one of those three spots is available, they'll probably get one of those over most other positions. Now, I'm not saying it's blanket, it's always going to happen that way. There's certainly lots of other context involved, but those three spots in particular, yeah, I will be shocked if they don't pull the trigger with a guy available who is highly rated, you know, by them. Obviously, it doesn't matter much what we think on the outside. Ryan, what's going on, man? My thoughts on Green Bay teams ranked, maybe meant needs. One, O-line, two, safety, three, edge, four, cornerback, five, punter, kicker. I don't think that's terrible. I think I'd probably, I don't know, man. Yeah, O-line, one, safety, two, three, edge. Yeah, that's pretty good. I mean, I might just swap safety and O-line. I know there's lots of question marks along the offensive line, but I tend to think they probably think they have a little more depth than we do. But, I can't argue with that. That's Ryan, I think that's a fine order. Abdul, what's up, man? This is a straight-ahead question right here. Why did Josh Jackson flop? Woo, baby. A lack of speed and athleticism that was, somewhat, I was going to say, maybe overstated or rated by folks in the media, on the outside, fans, etc., because he was so kind of productive that last year in college. I've told this story so many times, but when I was on the beat, I had to produce a mock draft for the Green Bay Press Gazette, and I did so without Josh Jackson in the first round, and I had so many people write me, or actually write my editor, angry emails about how stupid I was and blah, blah, blah. And he'll definitely be a top 20 pick, et cetera. And then he didn't even get selected in the first round. He got selected by the Packers on day two, but it was just, you know, the testing wasn't there. And then even then, you know, you've seen guys who haven't tested well, at least, you know, somewhat acquit themselves favorably in the NFL. He just never really put it together. And I don't think his, what he was good at in college really didn't translate as far as, you know, the limited time they asked him to play man at Iowa. I don't think he was used to having to deal with a lot of the talent that he had to deal with when he got to the NFL. You know, it's not a cut and dry case ever. And it's never a case of like, oh, he sucked or whatever. These are pretty infinitesimal kind of grades when you're talking about guys who, you know, are able to hit the ground running in the league and learn as they go and continue to develop, and guys who are maybe asked to do things, or, you know, teams thought they could do things that they just aren't able to in the league, and there's no real way of knowing. And that's why we always talk about the NFL draft being such a crapshoot, you know. But I think, you know, ultimately it's just a little stiffer and a little less athletic than people probably thought. Abdul, thanks again, man. Any thoughts on, I think you mean Robert Kraft and the new head coach Mayo throwing Belichick under the bus? Does it say anything that he isn't hired somewhere? I just think it says he's old. He's an old man. You know, there was so much talk about, oh, Belichick, you know, it was interviewing with the Falcons and then didn't have any other interviews, and then, oh, he didn't get hired. But yeah, he's like my grandpa's age, older, you know, like, dude is an old man. I don't want to trust my grandpa with a remote control, let alone give him the keys to my franchise. And that's the other thing. I think lots of teams probably are wary of the idea of giving him control of the roster, which is what he'd want, given what he had in New England and his stature as an all-time great coach. No one wants to hand him the keys to the personnel side of things. And I don't think that's crazy. I think he can still coach his ass off. I think if he had someone doing the grocery shopping for him and just told him, hey, Bill, just go coach, I think he'd kill it. But I understand teams being reticent. He's old, and he probably wants control. That's a bad combination. As for Kraft and Mayo, are they throwing Belichick under the bus? I'm not so sure about that. I'm sure Kraft somewhat has with that documentary. You know, that has been fascinating to watch the response to that by everyone around the Patriots. But Mayo, I love him as a coach, and I love him as a choice. I'm fascinated to watch how he handles following Belichick and how Elliott Wolf and he work together. Because don't forget, Elliott Wolf is now the one in charge of personnel in New England. That's going to be fascinating. Mimsy, what's up, man? Going to try to not expect immediate returns that we had last year with the draft. Similarly, we'll try to be patient if Jordan has a year two slump. That's very wise words there, Mimsy. I hope you heed them, because yes, they will undoubtedly have some bumps in the road. I talked about it all last summer. Anyone who was here can certainly attest the idea that I said often throughout last offseason, there will be ups and downs with Jordan's first year as a starter. Nothing changes in year two. There will be ups and downs. And I think he will continue to be productive. We're still going to see the guy we saw that last half of the season, but he will certainly have moments where teams have done their homework. You know, and they've spent the offseason learning where his weaknesses are and where they can try and force him to go and take advantage of him. And that's something that, you know, Matt is charged with, trying to stay ahead of that curve. And that's the cat and mouse game that we love so much. But yeah, there's no doubt there will be struggle moments. There will be moments that are tough and frustrating. That's no question about it. But I'm excited to watch it. No question about it. Oh, someone's out here spamming in the Facebook chat. Why you got to do that? That ain't nice. That ain't cool, man. Ryan, what's up, man? Got to protect the franchise. I couldn't agree more. You're talking about O-line, right? Up that floor as high as possible. Levi Myers, thanks for the super chat. When do you think we will see Enagbare? Whew, good question. I mean, well, he tore his ACL in the wild card round, right? So, God, man, that's tough. I'm going to say maybe at the end of the year, towards the end of the year, last month of the season, maybe. That's a big maybe with an underline. Really depends on the recovery. I mean, after Bakhtiari, who freaking knows? I ain't ready to declare anybody ready to come back until we see them on the field with on a regular basis. But, yeah, maybe last kind of month slash quarter of the season. We'll see. Craig, what's up, man? Over under on Packer man amputations for 2024. I'm going to set the over under at 17, and I definitely think everyone should take the over. All right, I'm going to have to get going. I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then get yourself the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Link is in the description of this video. You can go buy one right now. Tons of great stuff. Tons of great draft content. Do it. You want to be smarter for it. Thanks so much, everybody. Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, don't forget, happy hour at the top of the hour. Talk to you all then. In the meantime, the rest of you, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.